Good day, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Fairway Fit Golf Podcast, where two friends get together to talk about how we are trying to look good, feel good, and play good. Let's go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Fairway Fit Golf Podcast. As always, Brad here, and we have Greg. Greg, it looks like you're back in your normal spot.
Yeah.
You seem to be home.
How is it to be back
with your own pillow?
It's great. I tell you the truth, the own bed is something that, like, you don't think twice about a lot until you're gone for 3 weeks. And then you're like, oh, I forgot how comfortable this bed was.
Do you guys have like a high end bed, like the one that moves up and down?
No, we don't have an adjustable bed. You know, we're not that old.
So we do. We have an adjustable one.
But you're so much.
No. Well, it's adjusted, but it broke like 2 or 3 years ago. So it hasn't moved. And we had to redo the mattress. And so we bought like the Costco mattress, and it just kind of folded it on to the frame. So it's a little,
it's like angled up at like 35 degrees.
It's real subtle, but you know, it was one of those, that new thing with the mattresses in a box. So when you cut the box and it blows open, after
an hour, it's fully set.
We had
one of those in the guest bedroom before we had Brody, and then guest bedroom.
Yeah, they're not bad. They're much nicer now, and it was a lot cheaper for us. And as bad as our mattress was, this was a huge upgrade. So it does its job, right? You know, I have my 75 pillows, and then, you know, court on one side that in order good to go.
Our guest bedroom is now our couch downstairs. It pulls out to it. We bought a sofa couch, and the kids absolutely love when grandmom comes and stays with us because she's sleeping on the pull-out mattress, and they always want to have sleepovers with her or whatever.
Interesting.
Go have a day.
Interesting. So we went, in our last episode, we talked about, we took the kids to Williamsburg. Well, before we went to Williamsburg, the day before, we did Jamestown, right? So a couple years ago, obviously, when COVID hit back in 2020, the kids missed out on field trips for the next couple of years. So they didn't actually make the trip to Jamestown. So we promised them for years, we go down to Jamestown. Well, you know, you walk through that whole settlement type area when it talks about how they slept and this and that. Now, a big thing we talked about was how bad the beds were. Well, that night, the hotel we stayed in, you know, had great reviews. I don't know who was reviewing it. It was a little old. It was so old, it had a 5-disc CD changer.
Nice.
That was like big time. Like the kids are like, well, what's CD? What does that do? What do they play? But anyway, little guy was on the pullout, and he woke up. He goes, I would have been better off sleeping in those beds in Jamestown. So sometimes those pullouts, they get a little rickety, but there's some nice ones as well too. We always look at one as well for guest type stuff, since our bedrooms are full now with all the kids.
Yeah.
But man, yeah, glad to have you back in the area. Glad to be playing some golf. Glad to be going over a little bit of everything. But before we get started here, I want to throw out a huge thank you to our first sponsor of the show. Our sponsor is Magic Mind. Magic Mind is the mental performance shot that everyone can add to their daily routine, or it's something that you can add to your pre-round routine. It gets you focused mentally, clear, and it helps you get set to shoot your low scores. So check us out in the link and check us out in our description, as we will have a discount code for you and you can get up to 50% off your first order. Make sure to check it out. It is something that I know I've started, something you have started as well too. And it's been a huge asset to us. It really does lock us in, especially when you're coming down the stretch and trying to put up those good numbers late in your round. So make sure to check us out in the link. It's 50% off your first order. All right. So as we get going here, you know, we've always talked about, we want to have some sort of fitness aspect in our podcast. We always want to talk about how we are training our bodies to play the best golf we can play.
Our temples, if you will.
Our temples. A temple that I just had nachos for dinner. I don't know about that one.
Homemade or Taco Bell?
Homemade.
I was about to say, if you just got the Nacho Bel Grande, you just really...
No. I'm no better than that. But yeah, so we tried to talk about, you know, things that we can do to get better. I know this summer my training has been completely different. than I have been doing all year. I've really dialed things back. I know you've been trying to keep things as locked as loaded as you've always have been doing, doing all your workouts on the road. But one thing I know that's been a huge part that I've added more and more, I think, every week is mobility. And you being that guy, I wanted you to try to give our listeners, I don't know, 3 to 4 exercises that they can do to make them better on the golf course. You know, we're getting up in age, you know, turning 44 pretty soon. You're turning 43. Dang. Is that about right? I think, yeah, I think the math works out that way.
2, 9 or whatever.
Yeah. but we're getting older. So it's not more or less crack our knuckles, bend one way, bend the other, and we get ourselves started. So we have to make sure that we're staying in our best shape. So we'll go ahead and give us a couple mobility. I think we wanted to talk about upper body today. Give us some upper body exercises that somebody can do maybe at the range, before they go to the course, or maybe weekly to get them into the best shape they can.
Number one upper body mobility tool would be either your driver, or if you are a rather long-armed person, which I'm not, but I still love this, is a PVC pipe. You can go to Home Depot, very the same place where we bought our alignment sticks. And basically, the curb markers for snow is the same thing as
driveway markers.
A PVC pipe, you can buy a 10-foot piece and cut it in half to a 5-foot piece. And then you have two of them, one for your car, one for your garage or whatever. But I love a PVC pipe for, shoulder mobility, just basically warming up my shoulders. I've talked about it probably numerous times. I've had shoulder issues a lot, just basically pertaining to my wrestling career. And I do focus on upper body mobility quite a bit when it comes to shoulders. PVC pipes, you can go basically, I call them around the worlds, or like very similar to a halo, straight arm halo, if you will, over and backs, just to basically get the shoulder cap and the shoulder joint kind of rotating and everything like that, loosening it up, especially if you're stiff, if you were coming from a long car ride, or maybe you took a plane ride for a golf trip, you just came out of sitting in a chair in your office all day long. PVC pipes, you can basically use for numerous different things. You can basically wake up your shoulders as far as all the rotational stuff that you can do with them. I call it elbows to ears, where basically I would just, if I'm holding a driver, I would basically hold the driver head and put the grip side down. And then I would basically extend my arms, bend at the hinge at the hips, and then allow my elbows to go above my ears to stretch it out. Other things you can go is just simple and easy, just basically rotation type stuff of like, put it behind your neck or put it in front of your chest, just like everyone has probably seen in a golf ad on your Instagram or on TikTok or any other social media platform, of just rotating the shoulders there, where you're basically kind of disassociating your lower body to your upper body. That will basically work on your mobility, kind of mimic your shoulder turn, pointing the handle down towards the ball coming through. All those type things can be easily done with a PVC pipe, or I would say your longest club, especially if you are rather gifted and you're above 5'7". You know,
swinging a 47 inch, 48 inch.
If you got long arms, a driver is going to be a little tough to do some of the PVC pipes.
Yeah, that's true.
PVC pipes, that's pretty much my number one seed for upper body stuff. Windmills, or what I like to call loaded windmills. So you would hold like basically some type of weight or an object above your head extended. Bend down towards your lower body, and kind of do a windmill like that, or your typical windmill that you used to do in PE class when you're in elementary school and middle school, would work just fine, just to kind of rotate that thoracic spine, kind of get a little bit of rhythm into your mobility, and just kind of wake up a lot of muscles at the same time. Something I've actually really liked is I call it a loose arm golf swing. Is basically I get into my golf posture and just kind of dead arm swing, to where like I'm almost like, it looks like my arms are just noodles, where I'm just kind of slapping them back and forth as I'm swinging. Kind of like
Michael Phelps, but yes, in the golf swing.
Dude, Michael Phelps could smack the middle of his back wrapping his arms. He was ridiculous. I could only imagine like how long his golf club, or maybe how short his golf
club. Yeah, I struggle in the shoulder stretch. I mean, my kids at school can knock it out, but I struggle in that shoulder stretch.
I can get one. I can get one side. I can't get the
other. I go one or other, but I had the surgery in the elbow, which really does limit a lot. But yeah, I need to get better. You know, the presidential physical testing should be coming back, you know, according to President Trump.
That is true.
I'm going to have to get that flexibility up.
And then another one that is actually really good is this stretch is a QL, which is your lower lat. And if a lot of you have played golf for a long period of time, you've probably experienced that kind of right above your butt cheek on one side or the other is super tight. That's your QL. And one of the easiest ways to stretch that is or just kind of wake it up and limber it up. You can once again use a PVC pipe or a long club and extend it above your head, and you're basically kind of pulling down and pushing out with your upper arm to stretch that QL. I really like doing it on the side of the golf cart so I can kind of turn my hips and like really use my body weight to get into it. That's pretty much my like pre-round upper body mobility. If like I just was like didn't get a workout in, I had an early tea time and kids were a mess in the morning and I got there and I had 10 minutes to get ready to play golf.
Yeah, I mean, I've found it just adding that mobility in almost daily that I'm playing really has been a huge addition to, you know, getting me good and going. You know, I'm still the guy that's getting there 45 minutes, 50 minutes before a round. I don't do as much stretching at the course because hopefully I've done it throughout the day. Now, if it's early, I may do a couple things in the parking lot. But, you know, before you hit balls a little bit, I do find that it helps. I mean, I've had some hip issues and some things that you've given me have helped me out a lot as well, too. And, you know, it just helps firing that lower half through and then having a flexible upper body or being able to get through the movement. And, you know, you got to be able to hit that shot, you know, near the later rounds. And if you are stiff, it makes it tough to score.
Yeah, because it just sits in the back of your mind that, this swing's going to hurt.
Yeah.
And, if you can swing free and swing without the thought process of this is going to hurt, I mean, that takes one thing out of your mind.
Yeah. Next time we get on, we'll go ahead and talk about some lower body exercises. We've talked a little bit about hips before because I know you've helped me out with that, but a couple other things. You know, maybe some Spider-Man moves that I've seen some people do on the range at times as well, too, to get themselves nice and limber.
Basically looking like Camilo Villegas out there?
Yes, yes. That's a good name to call. Man, that brings up from the past there a little bit. But yeah, you know, so there's a little bit about fitness we always talk about. Again, we've always talked about trying to look good, feel good, play good. You know, we talk a lot about, obviously, what we do on the golf course. We're going to have a lot coming up here in the future about looking good on the golf course and, you know, feeling good. Is just as important, not only mentally with our magic mind shots that help us, been helping us out with our routines as well, but also a little bit physically, being able to get it loose and limber before you go. You know, we all do it still. We still roll in and try to hit the first tee ball. And when you're trying to put a good number up and you haven't taken one shot, and you know, to have some sort of mobility maybe in that morning before you even get to the golf course can at least doesn't take one or two holes to get yourself loose. You can kind of come loose to the
five,
to
10
the
minutes, five, 10 minutes can go a long way.
It really does. It really does. You know, I've been seeing a chiropractor and she talks a lot about that. I'm on a weekly schedule with her and
weekly.
Man. We are right now. We're going through a process.
Okay. Like the first couple of times you're going.
Yeah. So it's about I think I've been about four times now and, definitely feel a difference. Definitely feel, the body a little exhausted afterwards. Make sure I drink the water throughout that day. But, you know, it really has helped out quite a bit.
I had a chiropractor appointment this morning. So,
yeah, definitely no just addies. Can't go. You got to do some stuff on your own. Otherwise, she notices. She's like, I haven't, you know, a little tighter today than normal. I'm like, yeah, I didn't really stretch that much last week. But, you know, it's what it is. But, all right, so enough of that. Let's talk golf. Right. I know you've been able to get out a couple times. I've been able to get out a couple times. And we do need to touch base on our week number 8. All right. But a couple weeks ago, I kind of left us hanging. We forgot about it in the last episode. we are going to add a portion to our summer season. Now, we got about 3 weeks left. Actually, 2 weeks left after this week. So we're going to add what we call
the perfect. Greg breaks 90, he gets 25 points.
We're not quite there yet. Not quite there yet. Especially when your goal is to be in the 70s. I can't just add 10 here.
Late. I'm a long way from that.
But we talked a little bit about this, and I heard this on another podcast. It's when you're able to play the perfect game. You know, big baseball guys. That's why we kind of relate a lot of things to baseball. So a perfect game in golf, we've come up with the rules, and it'll be a bonus point as well too. Actually, let's make it interesting. What if we made it worth 5 bonus points?
Okay.
That way we get yourself back.
I will say this. If I threw, that would make it.
You'd make it interesting.
It would make it numerically possible. Is that a word?
I think so. But anyway, we'll get to that.
If I threw a blind Hail Mary, I shot below 85?
70s.
But
85 no, and then in
if
the
I 70s, shot below 85, if I shot the 70s.
It's a bonus. In the 70s is 2 bonus.
And if I had a clean game, I probably should.
You would score almost. What is that? That's 15, 16, 14 points.
Okay. So you're saying there's a chance.
Since we only have the 2 weeks left, we're going to say that a perfect game is worth 5 points.
Right.
Now, I don't know when the last time I've ever done this. I don't know if you've ever done it.
I don't think I ever have.
But a perfect game is the first one, first and foremost, no 3 putts. Mm-mm. All right.
I did that in major number 2, I believe.
Yeah, that's doable. All right. The next one, now we kind of move this around for the two of us. Mine is going to be for no double bogeys. Yours is going to be no triple bogeys.
Yeah. I mean, I should be able to.
And it's all gross. No net stuff. That we're not doing.
I like it.
All gross. All right. So there's two. So no 3 putts, no double or triple bogeys. And the last one, no lost balls.
Cool. That's my dagger.
Yeah. Now, obviously, lost balls and double bogeys come hand in hand. You know, if you do one, you usually do the other. I have thrown some bogeys off of lost balls, but for the most part, they usually do come together. So that's going to be worth 5 points.
Have you noticed this, though? I was kind of doing a little deep dive into the Grint, and you can look at streaks. Yeah. And there was a one point in time, and it was Crow's Creek through, or maybe it was like 6-7 holes of my round before Crow's Creek, and all through of Crow's Creek, I had no 3 putts. I had a 25 hole streak, and yeah, I was like, yeah, dude, I was like that seems good, but it also doesn't. It's safe.
I don't know. I think that's pretty good.
Yeah,
I would say that's pretty good. I'd be shocked to see how many people, like a scratch golfer, goes. I mean, we're not pros. We're not on tour. Even a tour guy's 3 putt. I mean, I don't know. That'd be a tough one. So that's the perfect game. So that would be a 5-point bonus that can get us that we can get in the next 2 weeks, and maybe we incorporate that next year in our summer season. Maybe not 5 points every time, but if we're doing it over a 10-week time frame. But we'll add that into the majors. Who knows? I thought it was kind of a cool thing to hear, because it's, you know, you think about it, oh, I could do that. And then you're like, well, I don't know, man. That's pretty tough. Tough to do. I mean, you know, there's only 17.
With Magic Mind, anything is possible
right
now.
I'm pretty sure there's only 17 perfect games ever thrown in the bigs. So, you know, I mean, I know it's a different type of perfect game, but
Knowing my luck, I'm gonna 3-jack 18 to shoot 79 instead of 78 and card I'll be that pitcher that the last pitch of the game is called a a ball and walks the guy, or he's called safe
What was the last one?
He was called safe at first, wasn't he?
Yeah, that was. I was going to say that wasn't the last one. That was actually probably closer to 8 or 9 years ago now.
Really,
but the White Sox guy that was called safe at first base. Which
I did watch a 30 for 30 on that a couple years.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was that you went. but that was a blatant bad call. But yeah. So let's talk summer season though. So let's you know, I will tell you, week 8 did not throw a perfect game. Did not hit a perfect game.
Neither did I.
Yeah, no. So coming into week 8, it's been a pretty strong summer for me. I have a 17-1 lead, and obviously we talked a little bit offline or off air about what kind of needed to happen on your end. And you know, obviously you threw the blind Hail Mary, wasn't tremendously blind. But I think I've actually played while either I was just finishing or maybe I would play earlier in the day.
Well, just remember blind Hail Mary is before I play. I can
call. Oh, I know. That's why
I can see your score still.
Well, I know, but normally we play on the same day. It just
that is true. That is true.
We played on opposite days. So it wasn't a huge deal. I mean, I knew it was coming. I was surprised it wasn't coming, you know, right when we left the episode last time, but anyway, so we were the blind Hail Mary, which gives us triple the points. So, you know, later second half of the season, we're already double points. So now we're going to triple the points. So 6 points are up in the match. So with 3 weeks left, if you would just straight up win all 3 weeks, it would give you 18 points and you would win 19-17. So, I mean, the math is still there.
All you got to do is hit a hole-in-one.
How many points was a hole-in-one?
20.
I can't remember.
20.
I don't think it was 20.
It was 20.
I mean, we're arguing like we're actually going to get a hole-in-one. Let's see. Going back through my notes.
Well, this week, I was thinking that if I got a hole-in-one, at least I would have Brody as my witness.
Brody as your witness. That was true. No, it says the ace was only 5 points.
Oh, that's so stupid.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we had higher hopes.
Was a hole in 120 for the Stableford?
Maybe that's what it was. It did sound right when you said it. So, but I did go back and look at point stuff today just to make sure that we're on the right page. But anyway, you know, not to you know, blow our cover here, but no hole in ones here.
No hole in ones.
Well, too. So with an early or the big lead, 17-1, Greg calls blind Hail Mary. With the blind Hail Mary, even though I played first, let's go ahead and knock out your front nine.
Well, I started.
Or if you want to do all 18, that's up to you.
I'll do all 18. I remember the text message. I did tell you I was going to do the unthinkable and play a great round with a blind Hail Mary. And due to some things that went on, I was going to bring my almost 3-year-old son out for his first 18-hole round, where I was just gambling on him sitting in the golf cart for close to 4 hours.
But you said it went well.
I tell you the truth, it went just as good as I thought. Now, granted, he was Happy Gilmore multiple times where I'd tee the ball up and he would come stand directly in front of me and like, sir, please move. All right, good luck, Dad. And you know, I'd have to move him, be like, can you just walk over to the cart, buddy? And you know, he was my little cheer, like, oh wow, that was awesome. And then, you know, he was finding every muddy puddle and he was great at finding balls in like the rough that weren't ours. But I mean, he went home with probably about a dozen balls. But I mean, it worked out and he had lots of snacks and
the possibilities that you just opened up.
I do.
Now it's like, it's not, you can do it. You can pull it off even more.
The question is I'm wondering if my daughter would be worse or better out there. She really wants to go out there when I go play, but like, I feel like she's going to want to like actually play and that's just, it can't be done at 4 years.
Well, it can and it can't. You bring her clubs, you know, plastic or small, whatever they are, and you you know, you let her play on the green. And then when, you know, it's the big one is what you said first. It's the safety of them walking. Yeah. And that's probably the most nerve wracking thing possible. So,
I played with two guys. I played with two other guys that were actually really cool with him and everything like that. Cool. And I was like, dude, I was like, he's going to be yapping the entire time. I was like, so just, I apologize. He's going to be talking in your backswing and everything. Like, and they were perfectly fine with it. They were laughing at him. The very first hole, he came running up to the green after I chipped on and
picked it up.
Yes. Picked my ball up. Luckily, I was right behind him to drop my coin. And then that distracted him because he said, oh, money. And he was once again, the caddy from Happy Gilmore One. He picked my coin up. So I had to go get him his own coin.
Smart kid. He sees money. I'm picking it up too.
First hole was a little nerve wracking. It was kind of a arrive and drive type thing with dragging him around. So I wiped the perfect game off right away. I tripled one.
Did you lose the ball?
Two.
Did you three putt?
No, I two putt.
Oh, I was gonna say if you got all three, that might be a bonus.
Just ruin it right away. went par, bogey, birdie, then had a nice triple again. Lost ball off the tee. Then went bogey, double, par. Shot a 45 on the front, 18 putts, was 3 for 7 on fairways, was 56% greens.
That 56% greens.
It's probably the highest I've ever been in my life.
That's a lot. And I know we kind of talked a little bit too. Your putt numbers, there's a big difference putting from 50 feet or chipping from 60 feet.
It's true.
You know, you hit more greens. It doesn't mean you hit it closer to the hole because you hit more greens.
Yeah.
It just means you hit more greens. So, you know, I know your putting numbers were a little high in the round, but I would take that as a huge trend in the right direction.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I was hitting the ball pretty well. It was just, I was making, you know, one dumb mistake where I was just, you know, missing a tad bit off or not rolling a putt or anything like that. But, turned to the back nine and, hooked a drive and unfortunately hit the cart path. And actually, instead of hitting the fence that was right there and coming right back in, to keep me in play, it cleared the fence. So, so had a drop on 10, took a double on that, another par 5. That's an opportunity missed there. Went and parred the next hole, parred, 12, bogeyed 13, birdied 14. And then this has been my demise at this course lately. I doubled 15, which was a par 5, two lost balls. Pretty much, you know, today I did the same thing where I lost a tee shot and then basically put the ball in the same spot as I did before. And then chipped on and made a putt and same thing, double bogey on that, double bogey. And then went par, had birdie looks at both of those, 17 and 18, shot a 42 on the back. Had 19 putts on the back, 4 for 7 fairways, 67% greens. So overall, I had shot an 87, net 73, 37 putts, 50% green or 50% fairways, 61% greens, and 7 penalties.
But that's half of what you had in the round before.
That's true.
Summer season. So, I mean, when's the last time you shot 87 or below?
I was actually shocked because today my handicap went up by 0.1 and I was like, how can that be? And like, I looked at it and 86 fell off, but that was from last year. That was from October. That came off, which is surprising that was still on there.
It's a long time,
but I mean, we've played a lot of,
we have
tournament golf.
Lots, not on Grant.
And basically, I have.
What round is that 86? Is that Blue Ridge Shadows?
No, I didn't shoot that.
Well, and you won the final major.
I know, but I didn't shoot 86 on that.
I've never shot well Blue Ridge Shadows.
Let's go to Blue Ridge Shadows for our next match.
I knew that was coming.
Let's see. Shot an 86 at Pleasant Valley, June 20th. Shot an 88 at Trump National.
Okay. So it's not as bad as I thought.
Yeah.
I was thinking it was a little bit. Okay. Yeah. All right. I remember that 86 at Pleasant Valley. I think
that's actually, right. That was a... And that wasn't our summer season round. That was the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So you said you shot an 87, and I think you had a 14 on that day. So that kept you at a 73. All right. And you called blind Hail Mary. So you did that obviously beforehand. My round, I was started off like I knew how to play golf. It was kind of crazy. I remember, I had family with me as well. Had the little guy with me for all 18 holes. Now, usually when I walk by myself, I'm done three and a half hours. You add him in and I'm pushing 4 hours. He kind of doesn't watch where the ball goes and different things. But he's just, you know, his steps are a little bit
His caddy's lower. There.
Yeah. Oh, he's a caddy this Saturday. So,
Is it a homeless guy you found in the parking lot?
Sort of. Could be my brother. So it kind of works.
Bad bunny.
And then on the backside, my wife and my other daughter, my youngest daughter, other one was still at camp, but my youngest daughter joined us. And now, again, not quite as bad as single with your little guy, but it was like, oh boy, I got a deal. I got to try to score and deal with you guys. But it actually ended up being pretty good because I didn't even know I was playing as well as I was until it got later in the round. So anyway, I will start off kind of crazy. I was birdie, bogey. So even through four, a little frustrated, but even through four. And then I started to squeak some bogeys in there, made a really, really incredible bogey save on seven. I chunked my five iron to where I was on the slant. Didn't even get to the cart path. So I was on the slant, tried to throw a wedge all the way there, put it in the fescue, dropped, and then I hit it to like 6-7 feet, made the putt for bogey. So it ended up being like, and I told my little guy, I was like, I go, remember that hole because that's going to be the difference in my round. And now I'm thinking that bogey's going to hurt me completely and I'm going to end up being like messed up. But anyway, ended up, I think I bogeyed eight. That's my favorite hole to bogey. Four and eight just get me. Parred nine. Made a decent par on nine. No, I'm sorry. I parred eight thinking I'd straight ride the ship, and I three putted nine. All right. So that I lost my perfect game on that one. So I had a three putt. I did not lose a ball. I think I lost the ball later on. Actually, I didn't. But anyway, so I make the turn. Now my youngest is finishing her tennis clinic. My wife picks her up. They're riding in the cart. We're still walking. So now little guy jumps on the cart with them. And then I proceed to just play boring golf because I was more worried about what they were doing than I was what I was doing. And I hit all nine greens on the back. I hit five fairways on the back. And if I missed the fairway, I was just off. Wasn't a big deal. And two putted everything. And so until I got to 17, I actually got to 15. And I looked up and it's like, whoa, I'm even on the back. I'm like, all right, I'm still in this. Because I was thinking, giving up three shots on the front, because I shot 39 on the front. I'm like, oh man, I shoot six over. I go, I don't think I'm going to win. I'm not going to. Because I was playing the blues, so I was like, I didn't have a ton of shots kind of in my pocket there. I was like, man, this is going to be close.
What were you playing at?
Stoneleigh.
No, what were you playing at?
Oh, a three.
From the blue, what does it put
you? Three. Has me at a three. Yeah, but the tips usually have me like at a five or a six, so that helps out a lot. But anyway, so yeah, so I get to 15. It just hit. I mean, my hybrid was beautiful all day. Beautiful hybrid. And I was like, man, I remember this spot, six iron back pin, and I double cross it, but I don't go over the road. I keep it actually just off the front of the bunker Just missed the bunker by the front of the green there, chipped, two putted, and I kind of look at the scorecard. I'm like, oh man, all right, three holes. If I can stay right here, maybe not, maybe pick a shot up. I go, I'm still mid 70s. I go, I can maybe win still with that. And 16, good, a decent little wedge. Pin was up, wedge, two putt. 17, beautiful hybrid. Hit a great wedge. Actually played a little knuckly wedge out of the rough, which was beautiful. The 8 feet, birdied. Come up on 18, who's been my nemesis, you know, here and there. I don't know.
I think you've gotten over that.
It depends where I am. If I could get off the tee,
gotten over the tee shot point.
Very tough tee shot. So I hit a beautiful hybrid. I'm telling you, beautiful hybrid. I had, I think I had 195 flag, maybe 194 flag, something right around that flag. And again, this is with, you know, my wife in the cart behind now. She didn't play all the holes because she's still, you know, battling through things. And I was like, well, I'm going to play to the middle of the green. Hopefully this draws back. Ball's just a touch above my feet. The sun setting in the background. I'm not lying here. I was like, I hit the most picture-esque shot you could do. And it drew all the way back. Didn't get all the way to the pin. Hits the green and runs up the hill over the green. But I was fine with that. I was like, that's just no big deal, right? Like I'm sitting at that point right there. I birdied 17 to beat me to two over. I'm like, no big deal. I'll take me from where I started was, you know, 39. I'll take 74 in a heartbeat. So they're off looking for a ball, this and that. And I go up to mine and I didn't even have to move. I just was just short of the wall to where I didn't have to have the free drop from the wall because I don't know where I would have gone. No closer to the hole. So I was kind of glad I chipped it dead on.
You would have had to go beyond that, behind those bushes and chip over the bushes onto the green. Right.
Well, I've been there. I've been there not with a drop. I've been there because I've air railed the green before, but I think I would have had to gone closer to the blue tee box on 10 to not get any closer, but anyway, didn't have to. And that putt was online. I actually scooted because it got even closer and it lips out and it stops like 8 inches away. Tap in birdie. So I birdie 17, 18. And
did
I
you,
shoot a
did
73.
Did you mark it and line it up or no. Did you just, okay.
Just tapped it in.
What'd you shoot?
73. God damn. So I shot 73, net 70. So I don't know, man. I've been putting these numbers up and still making bogeys on these rounds because, you know, I've always said, like, I would have to make 5 or 6 birdies to shoot in the low 70s. And, you know, I've been very fortunate to be 73, 72, 72 once in every week for the last, like, 3 weeks with bogeys. And, you know, with a drop shot, I had to take a drop back on 7. And I think what's, you know, you always talk about home field advantage or home course advantage. And I think that just comes from, I know what's in front of me, not that I'm going to play better at Stone Lee or opposed to somewhere else, but I have the confidence that I have birdied every hole on the golf course. I know I can birdie every hole on the golf course to where I don't feel uncomfortable if I give up 3 or 4 shots early. I just tell myself, oh, I can make that up later on. Or I play bad and I play again tomorrow, you know, and scratch it off. So,
I'm the complete opposite. I'm the tale of two golfers considering this week, as far as me shooting the 87, I played 9 holes 2 under and shot an 87, which means I played 9 holes 17 over.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
9 holes 2 under and 9 holes 17 over.
Right. Yeah.
And today, I played the same course just because, you know, a buddy of mine wanted to go play. So I decided to take him out. Schwartz, he wanted to play before football. So we went out and literally the exact same thing where, basically 3 par 5 killed me, dropped and I tripled. 6 had a drop, but I saved bogey on my second ball. And then 15 again, I had two drops. Yeah. But I only had five penalties today, but yeah. You know, it's a thing.
So the only thing I did today is I hit about 150 wedges and I had my Rapsodo out there because it was so, the temperatures were so down today that it didn't overheat. And so I could use it for a long time. I think I hit 60 consecutive 100 yard shots. Now, they didn't go 100 yards, obviously.
I was about to say, are we talking like Scottie Scheffler where you're saying 100 and it's going 100?
So what I'm trying to do is, I'm trying to do that. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I'll actually play with my little guy and we'll pick a number out and we'll see who can get, you know, take three shots, who can get closest to that number. But I was working on 100 yards. So I was anywhere between 92, 93, all the way up to like 110, you know, just depending. Now with range balls, it is a little bit skewed because you can get a good ball and a bad ball, but it's a lot about, you know, club head speed because it, what it's reading, it's not a track man. I know it's not perfect, but if I don't have anything to go by, but I was just trying to get like
gives you a solid idea.
Exactly. And, but it must have been 50 to 60 of them straight. Like that's all I hit 100 yard shot. So
that's my plan.
Trying to dial those little things in. Huh?
My plan for tomorrow is to have my first like true
practice
range day in like a month.
Yeah. And then we putted a lot.
No, I take that back. I did have one range day down at Compass Point.
Down in California. Yeah. So, but yeah. So, back to the summer season as we wrap up here and we get moving on for the night. I was able to take the 6 points because of the blind Hail Mary, to take me up to 23. And then I was able to pick up one more bonus point, for the sub 74, but it was a 73.
Didn't we bump it down to 74 last week? And then now
but I mean, it was a 73.
You're just middle fingering me. Like, drop it down low again, buddy.
So 24 to 1 is where we're sitting right now. So
3 weeks left.
I'm going to take that you're going to play Blind Hail Mary next week. And
yeah,
probably,
I'm going to go ahead and call it now. Blind Hail Mary.
It makes sense.
Monday I'll play somewhere.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Yeah, we'll have to figure out the rounds.
Can I go play a putt-putt course and submit my score?
Well, you can go par three. We can go par three. So, but yeah, so we'll go ahead and call it a wrap for tonight. You know, appreciate everybody listening, following us along. Thanks again, obviously, to Magic Mind for helping us out. As they are our mental performance shot that we are working into our routines. We are working
I don't know about you, but 3 days and I've noticed a huge difference.
It gets a little away from that, like mid-afternoon lull.
Yeah. I've said it a million times on this podcast. I am super ADHD. And I have a very hard time struggling, like focusing on things for a long time. And even my wife has mentioned, like, the honey-do list is just knocked down all the time. And it's not me being like, oh, I forgot about that. Oh, my bad. I'll get to that tomorrow. But then, like, even like the fact that like I was able to focus over a shot when Brody's just frolicking in the wilderness a little bit away from me. No, don't call CPS on me. I was perfectly watching my kid on the golf course, everybody. And I had two other people help me. But like, I've like no placebo effect or anything, but like I have noticed a drastic change and it's definitely something that I'm pumped to continue seeing what it changes over the next course of a daily type thing.
Yeah. I mean, I know you're kind of struggling a little bit more with the demons of the physical golf swing. I am the mental guy right now. So it's been huge. It's, you know, it's a small shot fit in the bag. I bring it with me. If I don't take it already in the morning, if it's early and I don't want to just take it right away, I take it to the course. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to help me lock in for those last, you know, 2 to 3 holes where you're going to need it, type thing. So definitely been feeling a big difference and looking forward to staying with us. But, you know, everyone check it out. We'll have a link in the description get that 50% off on your
50%
next order.
50% off is a heck of a deal.
50% off on the next order. There'll be a redeemable coupon that will come your way. But yeah, make sure to like, subscribe, check us out. Leave a comment below on what you think. Leave a comment on what you'd like to think, maybe what our consequence should be for Greg for maybe not winning the summer season.
Wait, I had a consequence for losing the majors last year. Not the summer season. You didn't do anything when I won the summer season.
Was part of the World Series last year. It says consequence on the thing. We've never quite come up with one. I have one. You'll like it. I have one in my head. But leave a comment below if you got some ideas what we could do. Like I said, like, share, comment, do something. Tell your friends about us. Check us out on YouTube. We got a lot coming in the future. We're really excited about probably the next 2 to 3, 4 weeks. But we'll talk to everybody next week as we are back. Hopefully, Greg's blind Hail Mary holds up. Talk to you then.